And good afternoon. Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5. I'm Phil Taylor, and with me is Phil Conlon. How are you doing, Phil?
Good afternoon, Phil.
Today we're going to talk to someone attending a demonstration in Montreal. As we speak, they're gathering in Montreal, a protest against the bombing of Gaza and raising the issue of ending the occupation. There's been a number of demonstrations here in Toronto, in various places, and so we're going to continue the roundup of information that we have and also get at some of the issues in it. At about 5:30, we will talk with Stephen Gowans, who has a wonderful website called What's Left. And he's always, Stephen is a very, I call him a radical rationalist. He insists that we all make sense. And he's very sober in his analysis. And if there's a situation that needs it, it's this one. So we'll be talking to him. I'll just tell you, there's also news from Montreal that some folks we know, including David Heap of Gaza Arc and Ahab Lotayev, who we had on this show, they're announcing today that the Freedom Flotilla Coalition are planning to launch a new Freedom Flotilla to challenge blockade. And you will remember from listening to the show that their boat was damaged. But, of course, they're part of the broader campaign on this whole issue of ending the blockade. And so there will be their ideas to take a ship and deliver goods to the world market from Gaza. And others have taken, as did Mr. Lotayev himself, have taken the inbound route of delivering medicine and whatnot to Gaza. So apparently that whole concept is, from both ends, is being resurrected, and they're going to be participating in that. And it's planning to launch a new Freedom Flotilla to challenge the blockade. They also condemn Israel attacks on Gaza, the ongoing blockade, and probably more importantly, or as important, the international complicity. And that's Gaza Arc. You can GazaArc.org. I urge you to go there. I think we're joined now by Robin Philpott in Montreal.
Hello, Phil.
Phil. Yeah, I'm interviewing a crowd. Just wave the phone around and we'll just pick up whatever. No.
Okay.
It's just you're at a demonstration in Montreal. Where is the demonstration being held?
The demonstration is being held in front of the Israeli consulate, which is in Westmount Square, and it is under very difficult conditions. It's pouring with rain, and it's cold wind, and there's about, right now, there's about 300 people, maybe more, and it looks quite militant, but there are people coming from every which way, so it'll probably get quite a bit bigger. We've been marching here in Montreal and demonstrating about every 3 days for the last 3 weeks. There have been vigils, marches, on a regular basis, usually bringing about 1,000, 2,000 people each time.
And what are they? What kind of slogans? What kind of signs? What's being said there?
Well, there's a beautiful big flag written here, Gaza, je me souviens. And je me souviens is what is on the Quebec license plate. Gaza, I remember. There's Gaza will be free. That's the kind of thing, end of occupation. A lot of Palestinian flags. Normally, most of the demonstrations, there's been a large contingent of Hasidic Jews, and they've been marching. They're anti-Zionist Jews. Very Orthodox and handing out this information in English and in French, although I don't see any yet, but it's still early in the demonstration.
Yeah. By the way, now, the organizers, is it, do they have is there one label? They're all, how does it work out in terms of solidarity? Who's there? Who organizes?
There's a group called PADAMO. PADAMON. They're the people, also the people who organize the flotilla. And then there's an organization called Palestinians and Jews United, TAJU, which has been, which has held steady demonstrations for years now, and they've been very involved in the flotilla. And they are, so they're, this coalition of organizations have been organizing the marches. Go ahead.
What about the issue of political parties? Here, everyone notes the parties are utterly silent. Who are there any politicians supporting this cause?
Yeah, well, there are. There is Quebec Solidaire, which has three members of the National Assembly, and they are, they've been at most of the demonstrations. That's three parliament members at the National Assembly. The Bloc Québécois has come out with a statement in favor of the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination, very clearly. Mm-hmm. The PQ has been rather quiet, except their position has never, has not really changed. They've made statements about the right of Quebec, of the Palestinian people to self-determination, which, as far as I know, has not been made by any federal party.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a big union participation, although numbers have not been that high, but it is, we're in the heart of, believe it or not, summer holidays, although it doesn't feel like it.
Cold rain in Montreal.
Yeah, and you know, we have these construction shutdown. Everything is shut down. But the CSN, which represents about 350,000 workers in Quebec, has come out with a very strong statement calling for an end of occupation, respect of Resolution 242 from 1967, returning to the 1967 border, the end of the blockus, and an end to Israeli apartheid policies. In other words, they don't mince their words.
Uh-huh.
That statement was issued on the 24th in a letter to Harper. So that's a very strong. The CSN has been was probably one of the first unions in North America to back Palestine way back in the 70s, and they've never backed off of that position.
Uh-huh.
The District Labor Council of the QFL, you know, the Quebec Federation of Labor, has also been present at almost every one of the demonstrations.
Now, when you say that, does that mean that there's a sign, or they wear their union clothing, or how would the people know they were there?
Well, the CSN has regularly had its flags and statements out up here.
Uh-huh.
The QFL, I haven't seen any, but they've had union representatives from the, particularly from the postal workers, but also from the district, the Montreal District Labor Council.
Uh-huh.
So it's and here this crowd is getting bigger. I can tell you right now, there must be close to 1,000 now.
Wow.
There's people are coming in, and the riot squad is out in strength.
Well,
of course, these people broke their teeth 2 years ago on the students.
Uh-huh.
And so
the tradition is being maintained by everybody.
Sorry?
They're all sticking to tradition.
Yeah.
The Montreal police are somewhat well known for their active role in demonstrations.
Yeah, they're trying to curry support because they are also in having a big fight about their pension fund.
Uh-huh.
But nobody has too much sympathy for them, but they're in pressure tactics as well.
Uh-huh.
But the demonstrations are very encouraging. They're consistent, and they're solid, you know.
Yes. about this matter, well, one last thing on the politicians. There is a NDP member, Mr. Bolarice, who, my understanding is he used to participate with Flotilla and other movements.
Issued a petition in which he calls for the end of occupation and the end of the blockade against Gaza. It's a petition that he's circulated, and he's kept it up, and from what I understand, he's the only NDP MP who has done so. And so, in other words, he's holding his position. He's probably one of the most credible NDP MPs in Quebec. They're very necessary for the NDP because there are many people who got elected but never expected to be elected back in 2011. There you can hear there. I missed what the speech is about, but there's a lot of enthusiasm here.
Can you tell us if you look around, or what do you see on the signs?
I can't really see because I had to come across the road.
Oh, and you're in the rain, too.
Yeah, I'm in the rain.
It's a little hard to... Yeah.
I can't see the signs other than the big Gaza Je Me Souviens sign, and I can't read the other ones from here. So, sorry.
But they do have the substance. Yeah, we're just noting what people say. And thing I've noticed, it appears in Quebec there's a greater emphasis on the content of the issue, particularly the issue of occupation. That seems to be in all of what people are saying at Quebec demonstrations, right?
Yeah, it is very clear that people are very much opposed to the occupation and also the right of Palestinian people to self-determination is a constant right across the political spectrum. In other words, it's an important point because people find all kinds of way of not saying that. And when you say you're for the right of self-determination for people, it's very broad. I mean, it allows them to decide how and what they want. There's also a common discourse is against colonialism, at least in the communications that I've read. It's been quite clear that they see this as colonialism in the old sense, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe might say in the new sense as well. But there is a...
They do remember. When they say they remember, they do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the Palestinians, in holding the flag, Je Me Souviens, it's like a wink to Quebecers. You know, they know what we're talking about, what Quebecers talk about when they write, when they say Je Me Souviens.
Yeah. Well, it's a dramatic occasion. I congratulate you on going out in terrible weather and showing solidarity with the Palestinian.
I think it's good to see that this is as good or bigger than the previous one. So that's encouraging, despite the bad weather.
And despite weather. Oh, well, thank Robin Philpa. We thank you very, very much.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. I wanted to wait till she had finished talking.
Well, that sounds exciting.
It does.
In the rain and with the riot squad out.
Oh, my gosh. They got everything going. By the way, I mean, that's part we have for listeners who might be outside of Canada. We have a special culture, and that you're being introduced to it. And some of the largest, most militant anti-colonial, anti-imperialist demonstrations are held in Quebec, and also some of the strongest labor demonstrations are there. His emphasis on the CSN is true. They go all the way back. And that's a tie-in with an issue that I wanted to make sure we raise. I have this from the Washington Post, a blog by Adam Taylor, no relation. Brazil has withdrawn its ambassador from Israel over the attacks on Gaza, and it led to an interesting kind of little dust-up rhetorically. The Israeli foreign minister, Yigal Palmor, He told the Jerusalem Post that Brazil remains a diplomatic dwarf. That was his reaction. And then they said, well, that isn't enough of it. Then he then mocked Brazil's 7-1 loss. He says they mentioned disproportionate use of force. He said, well, 0-0 is fair, but 7-1, that's disproportionate. And this takes us back to issues of colonialism and attitudes. Now, what made Brazil, but Adam Taylor pointed this out. In 2010, Brazil decided to recognize a Palestinian state, and that was when the trouble started. And this takes us to Robin reporting to us from Montreal that the recognition of the Palestinian state, which is CSN and the QFL, and later I think even the Canadian Labor Congress, I'd have to check, but certainly those two unions pushed that idea. And, of course, that's one of the reasons we have at least the foundation of a possible peaceful settlement, is because this concept of a state being codified, not just, you know, isn't that a nice thing to say? No, it's something. So Brazil was in favor of that. And since that time, relations haven't been all that warm. I'll just repeat again that Yigal Palmor of the Israeli foreign minister in the Jerusalem Post called Brazil a diplomatic dwarf.
You know, the Brazilians had another fact that they pointed out when they were very dignified in their response. So they said, if there's any dwarfs in diplomacy, it isn't Brazil. It says, Brazil is one of only a handful of countries that has diplomatic relations with every member of the United Nations.
Yes. Yes, saying that they believe in real diplomacy,
right,
and not the trick of shunning people and states and recognized nations. This is all to the very important, I believe. And, by the way, I'll just read you. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition I was speaking of earlier, there's going to be a new flotilla. By the way, there is a rumor, and I'll only mention it, that Turkey is planning to send a ship, it was a Turkish ship in the flotilla that was attacked, and there was a loss of life. There were allegations of murder, et cetera, led to really nasty relations. By the way, I raise this as mainly as a political topic, not whether this is the right thing to do or not the right thing. When you start saying that Turkey, the government, is urging or encouraging that another ship go, and there's talk that they might send a ship alongside it, then you realize the kind of stuff that can happen. There's other players around in the neighborhood, and they all have some interest, and it isn't always talked about. For some reason, people don't want to point these things out. That's one of the reasons we'll be talking with Steve Gowans at 5:30. But I'll just hear from the statement by Gaza's ARC, and that the International Freedom Flotilla Coalition, with participation from England, France, Sweden, Norway, Spain, Italy, Greece, Turkey, USA, Canada, and Australia, condemns the ongoing Israeli military assault on Palestinian civilians in Gaza, denounces a failure of international community, the international community, the famous ghost that doesn't ever seem to appear in flesh, but to stop the assault, and renews its opposition to Israeli economic blockade on Palestinians in Gaza, as well as the collaboration of other governments. We hereby announce that we are planning another flotilla in the near future to challenge the blockade of Gaza with participants from around the world. We announce our intention to sail back from Gaza carrying Palestinian exports, continuing the work of Gaza's ARC. We are a peaceful civil society initiative acting out of solidarity with the Palestinian people independently from any government. Contrary to recent media reports, we have not asked for military escort, have no intention to, and will not sail with a military escort, which raises, I guess we're going to hear from them. I will continue reading. The Mavi Marmara, the lead ship in the 2010 Freedom Flotilla, which bore the brunt of the Israeli naval assault and on which 9 Turkish civilians and a U.S. citizen were killed by Israel, will soon be ready to join the flotilla with hundreds of peace activists from around the the world on board. More news on our plans will be available in a few weeks. We urge our supporters around the world to stay alert for updates and to be ready themselves to join and escalate our campaign to bring down the Israeli blockade of Gaza. That's Freedom Flotilla Coalition, European Campaign to Ease End the Siege of Gaza, International Committee for Breaking the Siege on Gaza, Freedom Flotilla Italia, Gaza's Ark, Rumbo a Gaza, Ship to Gaza Greece, Ship to Gaza Norway, Ship to Gaza Sweden. And again, go to Gaza.org, pardon me, GazaArk.org for more. Put it on your list so that you'll know what's developing. But you can, this is going to be an interesting political question. States do like to come and sniff around these things. So it seems to me they're saying clearly this is going to be a civilian operation. They're not asking for any ships to be involved. Everybody has to be very vigilant in these things. Gloria Steinem, by the way, has appeared on the net, I understand, holding up a sign protesting. This is the new method. You know, you take a picture of the president's wife. And by the way, you remember a month ago when President Obama's wife said, "Bring back our girls."
Oh yeah.
And then everybody said, "Hey, what's the score in the World Cup? What's going on with?" And then one day somebody said, "What was that about again?" So
By the way, where's that story gone? It's gone.
Yeah, there's a new story. Well, yeah. Actually, there's a new, of course, story in that those who allegedly have, I don't know anything about the details, who had the girls and have recently captured the wife of a leading member of the Cameroonian government, I believe. That happened on the weekend. We have all sorts of interesting colonial. This is definitely, we should put the general rubric. This is neocolonialism going on. The French have announced that they've secured the Algerian aircraft, and France has declared a day of mourning for an Algerian plane. That's nice of them to do that, but Algeria is not France. That we had a long argument about that. It cost about 1 million Algerian lives, but now the French are, you know, issuing all the press releases and making all the statements. And the U.S. Marine Corps is escorting the U.S. Embassy personnel out of Tripoli and taking them over to Tunisia for their summer holiday because the heat is so great in that place that they liberated that even they aren't welcome.
Don't the Marines sing a song about Tripoli?
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
It's just tradition, Phil.
I could sing it. Actually, I can only sing it, so I won't do that. I can remember the words when I sing. And you're lucky. I'm not singing. I can't resist. I want to share with you an important bit of research. And this comes to us. This headline on the piece is, "Scientists, rich people, poor people, may have shared common ancestor." And this is from Ithaca, New York, courtesy of Onion. According to a study released this week by geneticists at Cornell University, substantial evidence indicates that rich people and poor people, disparate populations long thought to be entirely unrelated, may have once shared a single common ancestor. Quotes, "After conducting careful DNA analysis, our research team was taken aback to discover that the wealthy and the working class actually have a considerable number of genetic similarities," said study co-author Kenneth Chang, adding that despite the disparity between the modern-day affluent and low earners in terms of behavior, appearance, and lifestyle, numerous genetic markers revealed that their predecessors may have once lived beside one another without any noticeable differences. Side by side, poor people and rich people look almost nothing alike, of course. It took months of chromosomal comparison to discover that links exist between, say, a top-level consultant at Bain Capital living in a gated community and a mother of three relying on multiple low-wage jobs to survive. And upon close inspection, it is possible to detect subtle but striking physical resemblances between these vastly different peoples. Scientists also determined that the ultra-rich were closely related to jellyfish and other soft-bodied invertebrates. So there you go. That's research just come in from Onion. Rich people, poor people may have shared common ancestor. I think,
that would be very, very shocking to rich people.
It's unlikely.
I think they'll suppress that news.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait. I know that nobody can prove that in any of the universities around here, and certainly would not try to do that for fear of having their funds cut off, if not their fingers. Anyhow, you're listening to the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. You can write to us, taylor@ciut.fm, and we're, of course, on the web, taylor-report.com, and Facebook/ The Taylor Report. So, my gosh, we're everywhere. If I don't know if anybody's listening, but we're everywhere available. I mentioned Gloria Steinem. I'm struck by the fact, Phil, that Mr. Ondaatje, are one of the world's great writers, lives here.
Yes, he
often.
Does. Yeah.
He was one of the first to sign and join with other artists and writers around the world in condemning the Israeli assault on Gaza. But he doesn't get a strong start, doesn't go and interview him. And a lot of other Yevtushenko, the Russian poet. You remember Yevtushenko?
Of course. I didn't realize he's still with us.
Yeah, Yevtushenko. Lawrence Ferlinghetti, mm-hmm. of City Lights Books. And, they ought to bronze that joint someday and make sure. I don't bronze it. It deserves a monument. We all think of Jack Kerouac, but then you think of everybody. Many of the great modern writers were published through City Lights Books, and Lawrence Ferlinghetti is the central figure in that. And he doesn't write poetry anymore. He's one of the great poets. He has become a painter, and he has signed a statement along with others. And I think this is going to be the trend. The more this bombing goes on, and the more Goliath beats up on David here, if I have it right.
No, you have it right.
Yeah, I know it's something wrong with that story, but anyhow, I'm going to stick with it and pretend I understand myself.
Yeah.
So the more that this goes on with the superpower, the nuclear power, by the way, which we're not invited to remind everybody of, but it is a fact, it's a nuclear power. One of the great powers as armies around the world, it's like top tier. It's like major leagues, minor leagues. It's in the major leagues. So this major league power is talking about its right to defend itself, and frankly, the numbers show that it is the more superior, and it seems to be able to afford all these things because it has friends somewhere that see to it that it's possible. Most of the states in the region can't afford these things, or if they can afford them, are not allowed to buy them. They say, is that for sale? And the answer is, not to you. Well, you sold it to the guy down the road. I know. I know I sold that. We'll be calling Gowans shortly, but I want to remind everybody the story that we've told on the program a few times, but Benazir Bhutto, who was assassinated because she was elected, and powers that be, particularly in the West, didn't want her there, so she's deceased. She was the first time she was elected. By the way, she's a socialist. I mean, at least in terms of her label, she's a Pakistani socialist, and she was elected prime minister. But when she was elected, there was an order for very sophisticated fighter planes, which U.S. had agreed to sell to the Pakistani military, who were running the country on behalf of the Pakistani people, who didn't need the country that badly, but the Pakistanis did. So the Pakistanis were able to have this marvelous set of aircraft on order, and she took office, and she was told that the order would not be delivered. And she said, we want our money back, because that was billions of dollars to buy all those. And they said, no, can't have your money back. and you can't have the planes. And so you want to understand imperialism and its priorities. You have to remember stories of that kind. Memory is a helpful device, and
well, as a matter of fact, it then follows not only for just for asking the question, she probably lost her life.
Like
she
it was very being a pain about it.
Yeah,
you know, it's the old thing. It's true. If you ask somebody who's really tough and strong, and you say, "Hey, you remember you were going to do this for me," and he says, "Yeah, I told you that," and then you say, "No, you promised." There's a certain point at which you will regret that you insisted on reminding him. That's how great powers work, as I understand it.